Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Liat Meyerfeld, and today we are learning Melachim Aleph, Chapter 2. One of the greatest gifts we give someone is saying goodbye properly. It provides closure and a warm feeling after even the shortest encounter, certainly after a long, full life. Saying goodbye is the first step to continuing life without our loved ones. With all the transitions in leadership in biblical times, there are actually only a few goodbye discussions between a leader and their successor. Yaakov calls his sons to speak to them before his death, Moshe commands Yehoshua, Eliyahu the prophet to Elisha, and King David to Shlomo is another. There is no other king to successor speech recorded. King David's life is coming to an end, and he calls his son, Shlomo, to command him for his future. Firstly, his blessing or dream for his son. In verse 2, be strong and be a man. V'chazakta v'ha'ita le'ish. Verse 3, keep the charge of Hashem and walk in his ways. Be strong in knowing that as long as you follow his ways and stay true to him, Hashem will be with you, and together you will be the strongest alliance. We will see in the next chapter that King Shlomo sees himself only as a young lad with no experience in leadership. David tells him that he's going to have to grow up fast. King Shlomo will need to be decisive and forceful. The overarching message that King David imparts to the young King Shlomo is not to remain mired in the past. King Shlomo will face new challenges, and he must adjust and not simply run plays from his father's playbook. He will have to be a man, as King David instructs him, and chart new paths to confront the brave new world that he will face. The mistake of failing to adjust to a new reality is a common one, both within and outside of the Torah world. The willingness and ability to adjust is a sine qua non for successful leadership. The failure to adjust is a recurring theme in the book of Melachim and serves as a significant contributing factor to the eventual destruction. For example, King Rehavam, when faced with the demand to lower taxes, instead raises them. Sadly, Yirmiyahu's message to adjust is spurned, and ultimately the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Had the kings only heeded Yirmiyahu's advice, unnecessary bloodshed and exile would have been avoided. At first, King Shlomo achieves a resounding approval as king. However, as time passes, King Shlomo does not adjust to the growing discontent that emerges both among his wives and among his constituents. King Shlomo carries on his plans without adjustment, even after Yerovam ben Nevat brazenly rebukes him. For the most part, King Shlomo manages to escape unscathed to the end of his life, due to his power and talent. His reign over all of Israel collapses, though, due to his and his son's failure to adjust to the new reality. The bulk of David's instruction is a more practical political message, instructing Shlomo to take care of unfinished business, to be responsible for people who have harmed or helped David during his reign. 1. Ensure Yoav, David's army chief, does not die a peaceful death because of his assassination of Avner and Amasa. 2. To care for Barzillai the Giladi, who was a friend of King David. 3. To kill Shimi ben Gera. The style of this messaging is the perfect example of David's life. It encapsulates the two worlds that King David lived in and was known by, the spiritual world of the Book of Tehillim and the very physical world of war and conquest. The same man who composed one of the greatest works of poetry and prayer was also the man who spent most of his life in battle, on the offensive and often defensive. On a basic level, we see this chapter as an encouragement to King Shlomo to dispense reward and punishment as a mandate for his royal standing. In his lifetime, King David did not respond to Yoav. On his deathbed, he could finally charge someone to get rid of the man that had helped but also undermined him his entire reign. Shimi had cursed David on his way out of Jerusalem. Faced with such humiliation, he urged his followers to be calm. But on his deathbed, David lashed out and revealed what he wanted to do years before. He instructed King Shlomo to keep his promise of not killing Shimi, but on condition, and that standard would be impossible for Shimi to uphold. In fact, the story fast forwards and tells us that Shimi ends up being killed for refusing to follow the strict rules. The Talmud debates if Yoav is indeed legally culpable according to Halacha. Regarding Shimi, David had sworn not to harm him. Is that oath null and void for his son? If David is motivated by justice, surely Yoav and Shimi should have been judged in a court of law, and not entrapping them as his directives imply. It actually doesn't make sense that David gives this ethically dubious, dangerous advice to his young, inexperienced, newly appointed son. The Abarbanel suggests a different approach, explaining that this chapter is not about vengeance. If David had wanted to extract justice in this way, he could have done it himself. Sending the young King Shlomo on these missions could be dangerous. Rather, each of David's directives represents a piece of guidance and forewarning based on David's experiences. Firstly, to know who is your ally and never forget kindnesses. Barzillai would live in peace with Shlomo forever. Second, be aware, vigilant, and prepared for any threats. King Shlomo will secure his throne and in that way secure the land for peaceful living for the nation. After teaching his son all he can and giving over his last will, in verses 10 and 11, the era of King David comes to a close. King David dies and is buried in the city he loved and that would then bear his name, Ir David. According to the Talmud, King David was destined to die on Shabbat, but this was the day on which he regularly studied Torah all day long, and as long as he was learning aloud, the angel of death could not take his soul. So the angel of death made a sound out in David's garden. When David went out to investigate, a step broke beneath him, and for just a moment he stopped reciting Mishnah. This gave the angel of death the opportunity, and he was only then able to take David's soul. In verse 12, we see the continuity of leadership, and Shlomo sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established. Any questions the people may have had about David's kingship due to his lineage from Ruth the Moabite are gone, as his son continues the bloodline and is accepted by everyone and in the heavens above. The first challenge to his throne comes quickly, though, from Adoniah in his seemingly innocent request to marry Avishag. Adoniah had previously tried to seize the throne directly. Now he deviously asks Bathsheba to intervene on his behalf to allow him one small favor. Avishag in verse 21. Why request Avishag the Shulamit for Adoniah? Request the kingship. King Shlomo reads the situation correctly. In previous situations in the Torah, when a son engages in relations with his father's concubine, the act is political, as by implication they are assuming the father's position as king. Avshalom had been advised to sleep with David's concubines. Avner took Shaul's, and indeed we are reminded of Reuven, who tried to establish his place amongst the brothers by taking his father's concubine Bilhah. This final act of treason costs Adoniah his life. King Shlomo establishes himself immediately as the true heir to the throne. King Shlomo treats every member of the treason coalition differently. Adoniah is killed, as Yoav will be. Eviatal the priest, however, is not. Verse 26, "You deserve to die," King Shlomo tells him, "but I shall not put you to death at this time, because you carried the Ark of Hashem before my father David, and you shared all the hardships that my father endured." Eviatal is not killed, firstly because David has not earmarked him as a threat. Shlomo knows that David had actually promised to take care of him out of guilt for Shaul, having previously killed the entire city of Nov. Eviatal was a fugitive from Nov and spent many years hiding in caves with David for fear of Shaul. Shlomo marks Eviatal as a dead man, though, in verse 26, and sends him to devote his time to a farm, no longer functioning as a priest and neutralized as a threat. Without spilling blood, Shlomo completed the curse that Hashem had made against the house of Eli the priest, that none of his sons would serve. Yoav. Yoav served David as a fearless military chief, a senior government figure, and for many years a personal friend and advisor. In his last directive in verse 5, David is harsh and unforgiving of Yoav's killing of Avner and Amasa, two rival military commanders. All the good Yoav did in his lifetime did not hold weight compared to his killing of these two men. Yoav ignored David's royal directive, followed his own agenda, and undermined any prospects of national unity. Abarbanel cites three guidelines that David is teaching the new King Shlomo. 1. He killed them, vayehargem. Yoav killed innocent men. This is a criminal offense. Shlomo is taught to behave justly. 2. He shed blood during peacetime, vayasem dmei milchama b'shalom. There is an honor, even during battle, to not kill cunningly while a truce, to warn before battle. Shlomo is taught to behave honorably. 3. And he put the payment of war in his belt. Vayiten dmei milchama b'chagurato. Yoav paid himself, so to speak, by boasting of his disgusting actions. Shlomo is taught to behave with integrity. When David warns Shlomo about Yoav, he describes him in verse 5 as one who shed the blood of war in peace. The words blood and peace are relevant in framing Shlomo's reign. In Divrei Yamim, the Book of Chronicles, David is recorded as famously telling Shlomo that he had wanted to be the one to build the temple of Hashem, but that Hashem had told him he could not since he had shed much blood. Hashem had promised that his son would be a man of peace, hence his name Shlomo, and that Israel would live in peace during his years. Shlomo's agenda will be one of peace, building a temple and a nation focused on Hashem. Yoav is a man who even in times of peace brings blood and is therefore incompatible with the world of King Shlomo. Lastly, Shimi, son of Gera. He took advantage of David at his lowest, on the run from Avshalom, and came out to curse him. He's perhaps not dangerous, but he poses a political threat. Shimi is a leader of the northern tribes and could stir up old animosity. Shlomo is being taught that a king must always be aware of even slight acts of treason. Shimi is put on house arrest, but makes a wrong move. He seems to only be going after runaway slaves, but Yirmiyahu's use of specific words tells us otherwise. Verses 39 and 40, Shimi saddles his donkeys and goes to see Achish, king of Gat. Use of this official title shows that it's a political motivated visit, and Shlomo has him killed immediately, sending a clear message to anyone who would try to undermine him. The chapter ends on a high. Shlomo behaves honorably before Hashem, and the kingdom was established in the hands of Shlomo. With all of David's loose ends tied up nicely, Shlomo can start his reign with a clean slate and in peace with a spiritual focus. Thank you for studying together, Lilui Neshamot Imotenu Yekarot, Esther Oppenheimer Alea Shalom, and Sarah Schenker Alea Shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.